Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is happening, everybody? Happy Sunday. Happy Victory Sunday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is, in fact, a Victory Sunday. And what more could you want from a preseason game? Like, seriously, like, yeah, they allowed a late touchdown. I think the opening drive, the Browns went down and scored a field goal. You did have a Marshawn Lloyd injury, which we'll talk about. But I mean, my goodness, you had a fairly dominant performance from the Packers. You had the offense go down and score right away. Minimal injuries, at least as far as we're aware. That's exactly what you want. And injuries are clearly going to be a thing that you always want to get out of every game, but specifically preseason, with as minimal of injuries as possible or as few as injuries as possible. And then you want to just kind of continue and keep this momentum that the Packers have. There's a lot of great vibes surrounding this team. It's an up-and-coming team with an up-and-coming roster, and you just kind of want to keep that going. And if they lose this game or whatever, does it really change all that much? No. But I think this was just another one of those really fun performances from a young team that just keeps getting better. And I thought we saw some really important performances from some young players in this game. And I'll start by saying you never want to get too high or too low in any game, period, unless it's like a postseason game, right? That's when you really get the high highs and the low lows. I get it. But regular season, you still want to sort of stay even keel as much as possible. But in preseason, there's only so much you can take away and glean from a game where it's basically a dress rehearsal. Offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators are more often than not going very vanilla. A lot of star players don't play a ton. We know all of those things going in, but you still want positives to take away. And I thought overall, the overarching takeaway from this game was this was a very positive result with some very key performances and very minimal injuries. And again, what more could you possibly want from a preseason game? Before we jump in too far, quick shout out to Jean-Marc Brown, Richard Von Gunten, and Christopher Krivik for becoming all new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Thank you so much for signing up. Now is the best time to sign up. There are four different tiers available. Plus, we are just getting into the heat of the season. Preseason is an amazing time of year. You get extra content, extra Q&As, early access, all that stuff. Make sure to check it out. And of course, if it's a Victory Sunday, that means we had a Victory Pizza. Today, we've got the Luigi's Mushroom, Sausage, and Onion. Yes, I do love mushrooms and onions for a picky eater. That's pretty impressive. But make sure to check out Luigi's Frozen Pizza. I will never steer you wrong when it comes to pizza. I promise you that. Like I said, had the Victory Pizza on Saturday. We're going to celebrate again on Sunday. I might have another Victory Pizza on Sunday. In fact, I think just looking at that one right now, it's very, very likely that that is the case. But we have our Luigi's Pizza Player of the Game as voted by you on Twitter. It was LVN, the winner. We'll talk about him more in just a moment. But three tackles, a sack, three tackles for loss, two quarterback hits. Just a really impressive performance from LVN. And when we talk about young players who are making that step up and that you want to see consistent growth and progress from, LVN is one of the key players that you would put on that list. And I thought it was a fantastic performance by him. I'm excited to watch the All-22 when it comes out, hopefully a little bit after I'm recording this so I can jump into it right away. But I digress. Fantastic performance by LVN. And he was voted your inaugural Luigi's Pizza Player of the Game. So thank you to Luigi's for that. Like I said, I'm going to be checking out that mushroom, onion, and sausage pizza on Sunday. Cannot wait for that either. All right, before we get into all of the key takeaways, it is worth noting who did not play in this particular game. Dimitri Stanley, Jair Alexander, who was out with a personal issue, Carrington Valentine, Deslin Alexander, Zach Tom, Keyshawn Banks, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, Donovan Jennings, Jordan Morgan, Tyler Davis, and Tucker Kraft. For the most part, these are players that have been injured. Some, again, noteworthy ones here. Jair Alexander, as mentioned, was out with a personal issue. Zach Tom, we knew, would not play, even though he's been doing more team activities, still recovering from that pec injury. Same thing with Tucker Kraft, only doing individual drills at this point, so he was not expected to play. Tyler Davis has been healthy, but remember, he's still coming back from that torn ACL from a year ago, so they're probably just being a little bit extra cautious with him. Everyone else has had injuries that they have been nursing, so that is why they are not playing. The one other interesting note here, Tyron Hopper did warm up prior to the game and looked like he was maybe going to play. He was immediately announced as an inactive, so it was not necessarily something that they were like deciding between, but usually it's a good sign if he goes through the warm-up prior to the game that he's closer to returning, and hopefully he comes back to practice next week and maybe can play in that preseason game next week. All right, that brings us to our actual key takeaways from the game, and I have to start, have to start with Jordan Love. He only gets two passes. One of them is a loss of 2 yards, so you know, usually that's not going to be a huge takeaway for that specific player, but my biggest takeaway so far in training camp, and I've been talking about this, every once in a while I get a couple things right, but I've been telling you guys over and over, I talked about it after family night, after training camp, and now after the first preseason game, is the biggest improvement from Jordan and the biggest takeaway from camp and preseason period up until this point is Jordan Love's deep ball. I cannot tell you how much more that opens up the entirety of this offense if he's able to connect on those explosive plays down the field. Because if you rewind and go back to last year and how many big time explosive plays were out there for Green Bay and they were just this far off, and that was a really well performing offense through the entirety of the year on the whole anyway, if you add in the explosive playmaking of Jordan Love's arm connecting on those deep balls with consistency, look the heck out. And he's been doing it in camp. He did it at family night. He had one opportunity to do it in the preseason game, and he connects on a bomb to Dontavian Wicks for a 5-yard touchdown. Just a beautiful throw, a beautiful play. This is one of those things where how do you parse out what to take away, what not to take away, right? What I do not take away is that this is probably something that's super repeatable from a play standpoint. They got Dontavian Wicks matched up with a safety with no help over the top, and Wicks was able to beat him clean, and it's a pretty easy pitch and catch from Jordan Love. I don't think you're probably going to see that sort of matchup for a Packers wide receiver in that situation with no safety over the top, probably for the rest of this season. That's not necessarily a realistic thing that is going to happen, at least not a lot. But if you do get that matchup, you know what you should do? Take advantage of it. And Dontavian Wicks did and ran a great route, and Jordan Love connected on the deep ball. So again, you can't take away that that's going to be something that's just readily available to you through the course of the year. If you call that same play over and over, I bet you don't see a single matchup like that with a safety on Dontavian Wicks in the slot and no, again, no help over the top. There's just no way, right? But what you can take away from it is it's a great route from Wicks and it's a phenomenal throw from Jordan. And when you sort of continue to see it in all phases, meaning in training camp, in family night, in preseason, that's going to be a key takeaway, is that accuracy down the field. And it has been a special trait of his so far. He needs to keep it going. He needs to continue it. It's still a small sample size, but it looks much, much better than it did a season ago. And I cannot stress enough how much that opens up this offense with those playmakers down the field. We've seen Wicks win deep, Melton win deep, Watson win deep, Dobbs win deep, Reed win deep, Musgrave win deep. They have the playmakers to stretch the field all over from left to right. And if Jordan can connect on those consistently, it is going to make the offense a really fun show to watch this upcoming year. And of course, Dontavian Wicks deserves his credit as well. He just continues to make plays. And it seems, in a way, based on from some of the snap counts from family night with the starters and tonight with the starters, and just kind of what we've seen in camp, it does kind of feel like Reed, Dobbs, and Watson are the starting three, if you will. I don't really care because all those guys are going to play. Wicks is going to see a ton of playing time. But I will also say, when Wicks gets in, good things happen. He is a playmaker through and through. He knows how to get open. He knows how to run routes. And I'll say it over and over again, we are in the era of separation and route running at wide receiver. It is great if you can go up and out jump people for the ball and out physical and get those contested catches. You do not want to live in a world of contested catches. Bad things happen a lot of times with contested catches. You want guys who have the finesse and the route running, just the route running and technique to be able to consistently get open. And Dontayvion Wicks possesses that skill in spades, and it will be something that he continues to do well. Sometimes, you know, through injuries or through longevity of your career, your speed can go, right? Your leaping ability can go. Your physicality might be able to go. But the players who know how to win at the line and with their route running can have long time extended big time careers in the NFL. And Dontayvion Wicks is showing it. And he too, if he's adding the verticality to his game and some run after the catch to his game, which he did show last year, that's only going to make him that much better and allow him to get on the field that much more. Very nice start for both Jordan Love and Dontayvion Wicks. I don't care if it was one play. It's an explosive play, and it's a huge takeaway from this game. We mentioned LVN at the onset, but I want to sort of add two players together in this portion, and that is Devontae Wyatt and LVN. As I tweeted out on Saturday night, if you were to handpick two young players from this roster that you could have take a big jump going into 2024, I would say Devontae Wyatt and LVN. Maybe they're not one and two, but both of those guys are pretty freaking high on your list of guys you would love to see take a jump. And they start things off extremely strong in this first preseason game. We mentioned LVN, you know, what, two quarterback hits, three tackles for loss, a sack, just all over the place. He looked good in run defense. He looked good as a pass rusher. The sack that he got was due to Devontae Wyatt getting immediate pressure. And then he followed it up the play after with an immediate pressure. Wyatt had a practice this past week with four big time plays in one practice. Like, he is starting to make more and more noise at defensive tackle. And LVN has been practicing well for about the last week and a half to 2 weeks, where he's making plays almost every single day. And we would see flashes a season ago from LVN, but it would be just a flash. And then it would kind of be where he disappeared for a while. And right now, what we're seeing out of LVN at practice and in this first preseason game is the lack of the disappearance. It's the consistency that he's playing with far more often. And he's starting to put some pass rush moves together, which is a huge step in his progression as well. It's not all that dissimilar to Rashawn Gary in year two, where he started to put things more together, started to get more playing time, and started to be more disruptive. And then in year three, he took over as a big time starter. And that's still hopefully the progression for LVN. And I saw in the chat, you know, on Saturday night, people were asking, should he be the guy instead of Preston Smith? I don't think so. I think it should be Preston and Gary, but this is a similar one to when I was talking about Dontayvion Wicks. I just don't care, because they're all going to play a ton. Smith is going to play a ton. Gary's going to play a ton. LVN's going to play a ton. And Enagbare is going to play a decent amount as well. Those guys are going to rotate in. They're going to stay fresh, and they're going to get after the quarterback. And if LVN and Devontae Wyatt can take that jump and be more explosive players, more dynamic players, and add to the playmaking on this defense, it is going to make everything so much more come together for Jeff Hafley and company as they try this new defense and try to be more disruptive in the backfield. Having two guys up front that can win with consistency, like Wyatt and LVN have the potential to do, that would be a huge, huge win for this defense if those two guys can continue already what they've showed in preseason and in training camp so far. Next up, another young player who is starting to come into their own a little bit, and that is Grant DuBose. Grant DuBose last year injured almost all of training camp, came back at the very end, made a couple plays here and there, ended up getting released, which for a Packers draft pick is pretty rare for Goody, but he releases one of his seventh round picks in DuBose. He actually released another one in Lou Nichols as well. And then, you know, he was able to get DuBose back on the practice squad, worked all through the year, did get activated for a game, but then got deactivated for the same game. Long story, doesn't matter. Either way, he comes back, gets this sort of fresh start in year two. And you're sort of wondering, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, buzz, really positive buzz. I really liked DuBose tape from college. It was really, really fun. And he was somebody that even in the minimal time that he got at the end of training camp last year, again, made a couple plays. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And then again, basically a redshirt year last year on the practice squad. But he comes in and just is ready to go from day one in camp so far this year. And he has been making plays consistently. He's been winning in the one-on-one drills. He's been winning in team drills. He's had a couple deep crossers down the field that he's connected on. And then in his first preseason game, he goes 5 for 66, but it was even more than that. He goes 5 for 66. But if you remember what happened on the third down on the first drive of the game, Jordan Love went deep to Dontayvion Wicks for a touchdown. On third down in the second drive of the game, Sean Clifford went deep to Grant DuBose and had the Browns defender basically not just grabbed a hold of Grant Dubose and held on for dear life, that probably was going to be a touchdown from Clifford to Dubose on that particular play. It was a great route. Dubose schooled him, got him to bite, went right by him, was ready to have a touchdown, and the corner just smartly and wisely grabbed him and made sure that he didn't get that easy touchdown. Smart play by the defender, but Dubose had him beat. It was a great route, and if nothing else, he did get the holding penalty on the play to also get that key first down. That was a huge play for Dubose and should have been even bigger. Imagine what we're talking about right now, by the way, if... For Dubose, that what was that? Probably, like, I don't know, maybe going to be a 50, 60-yard touchdown. Imagine if we're talking about a six-catch, 126-yard performance with a touchdown for Grant Dubose, because it was this close to being that. He was fantastic. And the big play for me for Dubose was the play before the two-minute drill where he comes open, runs a really nice route, gets along the sidelines. Clifford hits him, but he's got to get the toe drag swag in. He gets both feet down, drags his feet, gets out of bounds, gets a huge first down, and keeps that two-minute drive going. That was a big-time play for Dubose. He also had another one later where it was a slant play, and we saw Clifford a couple times throw behind his receivers. We'll talk about Bo Melton a little bit later, but he threw behind Dubose. Dubose went and got it. And unlike some of the other receivers who couldn't come up with those, he went and got it and came down with it and got the, I think, a first down or at least the requisite yardage on that one as well. Either way, super impressive performance. And you have to remember here too, this is not just a player who is just kind of doing one thing. He's a good blocker, right? And I do think he has some special teams value as well. I think it's getting increasingly hard to want, you know, to see a world in which he does not make this roster in some capacity. It's not impossible because of the depth that they have at, you know, wide receiver. They've got four locks. Bo Melton, who despite a tough game today, is still a very likely player on this team. And then you still have Malik Heath and then a bunch of other receivers as well. Again, it's not a guarantee that Dubose makes it, but what he is putting out on there on the practice field and now on this first preseason game, I think there's a decent amount of upside there for Dubose. And we're starting to see some really good route running stuff from him already. He's got strong hands. He's got the toe drag thing going. Like, he is just immediately making plays within this offense. If it were me right now, and I like Malik Heath, but if it came down to Malik Heath versus Grant Dubose, I think I'm keeping Grant Dubose, because I think Dubose can do a lot of the stuff that Heath already does well, but Dubose has a much higher ceiling than Malik Heath. But either way, whatever ends up happening from here, really good game from Grant Dubose, and certainly continues to press the envelope and say, hey, you're going to have a very hard time cutting me. And if you do cut me, there's a really good chance that I'm getting claimed by some other team. And I'll just say this right now. If he continues this and Grant Dubose does get, you know, cut by Green Bay and some team around the league, one of these crappy teams that's got an early waiver, you know, claim situation, if some team does not pick him up, I don't know what the league is thinking, because he is very clearly a 53-man roster, you know, player in some capacity, especially for some of these bad teams out there. He's just that good, I think, already. And I think he's only going to continue to get better. So that'll be a very interesting wide receiver situation to kind of keep an eye on. I don't think they can keep seven with where this roster is at. And it might come down to a very difficult choice between Grant Dubose and Malik Heath at the end of the day. What's up, everybody? We are back with another exciting week of Prize Picks action. And if you haven't started playing Prize Picks yet, you should probably sign up right now and you'll quickly realize why it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. There's never been a better time than right now to sign up. You can turn $10 into $1,000 while watching Team USA continue to rack up the gold medals and dominate the competition in Paris. You can make a Prize Picks lineup of players across basketball, soccer, tennis, golf, and more in as little as 60 seconds. Just pick more or pick less on player stat projections and you're locked in. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and of course, most importantly, Wisconsin. This week, I'm going with Victor Wembanyama and LeBron James as their respective teams look to advance to eventually have a chance to face each other in the finals. Should be a massively fun week of basketball action on Prize Picks. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. As many of you know, a few years back, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals, and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane, and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course they were gone. Goodbye Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, let's talk about these quarterbacks because Sean Clifford has had a tough start to training camp. No question about it. And he had a really tough OTA and minicamp too. Remember he had that day, what was it, three or four interceptions in one practice? It felt like through OTAs and minicamps and the start of camp, he was just pressing. Almost the antithesis of what we saw from Clifford last year. I thought Clifford last year did such a great job of just coming in and being himself. Sean Clifford's not going to be a star big-time quarterback in this league, but I do think he has the upside of a solid number two if he can get to the level that he needs to get to. And I was so impressed with him his rookie year of just coming in, taking things one step at a time, and just kind of knowing that, hey, I need to be a game manager. I don't need to make a ton of huge plays. That's not who I am, but can I just run this offense as efficiently as possible? And I thought he did a really nice job of that in year one. And then year two comes, and he's sort of doing the opposite, where I appreciate the fact that he's trying to be aggressive in practice and see what he can do, and maybe he can press the envelope a little bit, but it has not worked. It did not work for him in minicamp or the start of training camp. He had a really tough situation where he had to start for Jordan Love to begin training camp, and the offensive line did him zero favors. But since Jordan has come back, and after maybe like three or four practices after that, maybe two or three, I should say, I did feel like Clifford started to just calm down a little bit, play more efficient. You didn't see as many turnovers, and he was just kind of getting the ball out of his hands and letting his receivers do the work. And that's what we saw this past about week and a half out of him in practice, and he carried it over into the game. Now, the stat line, 10 of 19 for 111 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. It doesn't look, you know, it's super sexy or anything. It's not going to blow you out of the water when you check the box score the next day or the day of, whatever, whenever you're checking it. But if you take some things into consideration here, 10 of 19, but three of those throws, one was a spike to stop the clock on the 2 minute drill. And two more were those little throws to the outside that were just trying to take time off the clock. So once the field goal was either made or missed, there would be no time left. So you didn't have to, you know, play defense or kick off or anything like that. They were just two time wasting throws. So three of those throws are actually not real things. If you take those out of the equation, he was 10 of 16. And if you take the 10 of 16, now he had two throws to Melton that were a bit behind him. Melton should have caught him. I'm not necessarily going to give Clifford the full benefit of the doubt here and say those should have been caught as well. But 10 of 16 with a couple plays that maybe could have been made by his wide receivers. I thought there was a pretty solid, efficient performance out there from Sean Clifford. And he just showed steps of, you know, taking a step in the right direction and not trying to do too much. And that's what I kind of wanted to see out of him. Today, he looked like a backup quarterback. And again, that's the ceiling here probably for him. And that's okay. Guess what? That's going to be the ceiling for guys who are drafted pretty high, right? Mac Jones, the ceiling for him is probably a solid backup quarterback. You know, we're seeing Sam Howell, who, you know, wasn't drafted super high, but got the starting job last year. He's probably ceiling of maybe a backup quarterback at this point. Mitch Trubisky, backup quarterback. You know, he was drafted what? Top 5 overall, top 10, whatever it was. you know, so some of those guys that get drafted very high, the ceiling is ultimately backup quarterback. He was drafted in what, fifth, sixth round? And it's okay that his ceiling is probably a backup quarterback. If he can do it well and be efficient, then that's going to be somebody that can make this team as the true number two. I thought this was a good step for Sean Clifford. Meanwhile, Michael Pratt, same thing here, in not insane numbers, but 5 for 7, 46 yards. And again, he actually had the drop by Melton that was a legitimately really good throw on a bullet. He should have been 6 for 7 for about 58 yards. And I thought he threw the ball really well and had, outside of Love to Wicks, he had maybe the most aesthetically pleasing throw of the day from him to Hicks. So Pratt to Hicks isn't exactly Love to Wicks, but it was a gorgeous throw on a back shoulder, and good on Julian Hicks too for making that play. He's an impressive UDFA. When I went through the UDFAs, Hicks was the guy that I liked the most. I wasn't the guy that I thought had the best chance to make the team because of the wide receiver depth, but he was the guy, just based on the tape, him and Donovan Jennings, that I easily liked the most from this UDFA class. And I think he's a practice squad guy at best. Certainly he's not going to push for the 53. That would be pretty incredible at this point, right? With where the roster is at. But he continues to make a little bit of a name for himself. Had a nice end around as well. But Michael Pratt, good performance. And again, if you're Michael Pratt, what you want to continue to show is your upside. You're probably not going to be the backup this year unless something changes aggressively over the next few weeks. But can you make it as the number three QB? Can you make it so you don't get waived and the Packers have to subject him to waivers? I think he's just been good enough where you don't want to release the upside. And I thought he continued to show that in this preseason game. All right, next, let's talk about the running backs. One of the unfortunate takeaways from this game was Marshawn Lloyd. Now, here was Marshawn Lloyd. This is a tweet from Tom Silverstein, who does such an amazing job covering the team. Running back Marshawn Lloyd said he's been pushing through a hamstring issue in camp and felt it pull while bouncing to run outside. Quote, I've had hamstrings before, so I'll just rehab and get back as fast as I can, he said. Said he can walk on it okay, so he's hoping it's not bad. And then Packers coach Matt LaFleur on rookie Marshawn Lloyd, I think this one was from Matt Schneidman, said he's going to have to get healthy. We've seen what he's capable of doing in practice, but you'd just like to see it in a real game. So you can tell Matt LaFleur wants Lloyd to get out there and be healthy. It sounds like he might need a little bit more time off to get fully healed, and then hopefully he can get out there and show the impact that he is capable of. It's an unfortunate situation right now where four of the Packers' top five rookies are all injured or hurt at the moment. Jordan Morgan, Tyron Hopper, Edgerrin Cooper, and now Marshawn Lloyd. The only one that's still out there is Javon Bullard. It's kind of been like the defensive back show for the rookies so far. Bullard's looked really good. Evan Williams has looked really good. Kalen King's looked really good. And then everyone else has sort of been up and down or injured. And so hopefully some of those injured guys can get back and start showing what they are capable of. Meanwhile, in Lloyd's absence, Emmanuel Wilson really had an impressive day. 13 carries, 67 yards, a touchdown, 5.2 yards per carry. And I thought that one play where he juked the corner into about 7 broken ankles on the play and then got upfield, that was the play where Michael Pratt got ahead and started blocking as well. Those are the sort of dynamic runs we see. And make no mistake at all whatsoever, Emmanuel Wilson has had a very good training camp. If you were to count the amount of explosive runs per running back, Emmanuel Wilson is running away with it in camp so far. It's not even close. Now, partially due to Marshawn Lloyd being out, partially due to Josh Jacobs being injured and, you know, them being sort of cautious with him for a few practices. But Emmanuel Wilson is leading the way on this team for explosive runs in camp. And then he comes again with a really nice performance in preseason. It's sort of a carryover from what we saw from Emmanuel Wilson last year in training camp and preseason as well. Now, his spot on the team is still very precarious. You know, Jacobs is going to make the team. We'll see where Lloyd is at from an injury standpoint, but assuming he's healthy, he is very much going to be on the roster, obviously. And then you've got AJ Dillon. Now, let's talk about Dillon momentarily here. If you want to box score scout this thing, 4 carries, 2 yards looks pretty ugly. And if you will go and watch Dillon run and you just see the runs, they're clearly not very aesthetically pleasing because it's 4 carries for 2 yards. And it feels very much like, oh, this is the same AJ Dillon. We've seen this. It's not dynamic enough. It's not explosive enough. And compared to Emmanuel Wilson or heck, even Jarvion Howard in this game or Josh Jacobs 1 carry in this game, it doesn't look as good, right? I will say this. You guys have heard me talk about Dillon in the past. Not a huge proponent of his style of game in the running back era that we're in right now. It's not a Dylan thing. I think Dylan's a good player. But I have less propensity to want to keep on the roster because I believe that running back and wide receiver and tight end need to be playmaking positions. I think you need to have guys that you can have the ball in their hands and they can make explosive plays. And I've just never really felt like Dylan's been that guy. However, I will say this. I think judging him based on those four carries where there was nothing there on any of those plays and there were guys surrounding him in the backfield on almost every one of those runs, I think is somewhat foolhardy slash unfair. That to me was not indicative of the AJ Dillon that we have seen in training camp so far. AJ Dillon has looked much better in camp than what he had the ability to show on those four plays. I fully understand how the difference looks between Wilson and Dillon. And I am not saying that, you know, Wilson should not get kept or maybe even that Wilson shouldn't get kept over Dillon. Those are conversations that we will continue to have through the remainder of training camp and preseason. Totally understand it. But this game, I would throw this one away for Dillon. I really, really would, because I don't think it was a fair indicator of what he's been doing so far. Like I said, he has looked great in camp. I literally said this though, prior to the game, it is one thing to look that way in camp. You have to carry it over to the games. So I think, you know, these next couple of games are going to be important for AJ Dillon to show what he can do and hopefully get a little bit more of a rhythm going. But that's going to take some better blocking from his offensive linemen as well. So rough game for Dillon, but I don't think it's all on him. Really nice day for Wilson. And then Jarvion Howard finishes things off with 8 carries for 44 yards, a 5.5 yard average. If anything, I think Howard probably, you know, maybe needs to move himself ahead of Ellis Merriweather because he's kind of been the fifth guy so far. I think he needs to move himself ahead of there. The Packers need to move him ahead of Merriweather. And I think he should be in that running back conversation or that practice squad running back conversation. I really do. I liked him coming out as a UDFA. I think there's a little something there. I think he got some opportunity. There's no chance he makes the 53. I will say that clearly right now. I'd be shocked, but I do think there's the potential for him to be a practice squad guy. And I thought that was a really nice start to the Jarvion Howard era as a potential practice squad guy. All right, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. I want to start with Eric Stokes because one of the things that I've noticed quite a bit in camp is these corners coming up and playing the run a whole lot better than we really saw at any point in the Joe Barry era. You might say, well, Andy, this is the first time I'm hearing about this. It is. And the reason being is because in training camp, it's two-hand touch. There's not tackling. Yeah, if I'm a corner and I don't have to actually go up and throw my body at the running back or, you know, really make a big-time physical play, I feel a little bit more comfortable coming up and supporting the run because I just have to two-hand touch the guy and I'm not putting myself at risk in any way, or I don't have to go in and, you know, put a shoulder into somebody. But what we saw in this preseason game was Eric Stokes come up and make a couple plays in the run game. And he was not afraid to go make the play and was involved with LVN on a tackle for loss on a play. So that shows me that this is not just a, you know, well, we can two-hand touch and I can, you know, maybe make a different decision come game day. I thought that these corners did a really nice job of coming up and helping in the run game. That's going to be really important for this Jeff Hafley defense. That's how you play defense in this league. It's all the little things. It's everyone rallying to the football. It's everyone doing their job in the Bill Belichickian way. And I thought Eric Stokes did a really nice job of coming up, making those plays in the run game. And it's something that I've seen from these corners a lot more in camp. And I love to see that it's carrying over in preseason. From a safety standpoint, Evan Williams, man, does he just continue to make plays. 6 tackles and, of course, a big force fumble. Anthony Johnson Jr. involved in that play as well. You know, this is a league that is about playmaking and taking the football away on defense. You have got to make big-time plays if you want to be a big-time player on defense. And Evan Williams has come up with 4 interceptions in camp and now a force fumble in his first preseason game, and he just feels like he's all over the place. The tackles were consistent. He made clean tackles. There was the one play where, you know, the knee was barely down and the guy kind of got up and ran to the end zone for a touchdown, but it got called back that his knee was down. Probably could have got him to the ground a little bit better, but I thought overall his tackling form was really good. He came up aggressively to make plays and then, of course, forces that fumble as well. So he continued his consistent camp into this preseason game. And I thought Javon Bullard had a nice day as well. Played some in the slot, played some at safety, and he's just so quick. He just gets anywhere he wants to go in an instant and plays completely unafraid. Thought that was a good showing from him. And then Anthony Johnson Jr. had maybe one of my favorite plays of the game where he comes screaming up from his safety position. It's like a pull play to the left of the offensive line, to the right of Anthony Johnson Jr. And Anthony Johnson Jr. just throws himself at full speed into the offensive lineman, you know, jars him back into the backfield where the running back has nowhere to go. It's basically like he's setting the edge on the play and just blows up the entire play. It was just such a beautiful physical play that we're not used to seeing from these safeties in Green Bay, you know, in previous years. This is a totally different safety group. I love watching these guys play. And that includes Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, and yes, Anthony Johnson Jr. as well. Kalen King, I thought a nice performance in his debut. Couple tackles, but one really key tackle on a third down. He just continues to play well and contest everything. He's just a gamer. He's a battler, and he's going to make you work. And I really enjoy watching him play. I think there's a great chance that he makes the 53. Too much upside, and he can help you right now, at least as a, you know, maybe number five, number six corner. I think that's where he probably slots in right now. I think he's deserving of that role, and I think he can get a lot better as time goes on. But don't rule out Robert Rochelle either. He came up with a big-time special teams play on their one punt from Daniel Whalen on the day. Also had a couple tackles and had a PBU as well. He continues to show well. I think he's probably the number seven corner right now, but not impossible. And I do think his special teams prowess is at least going to have him in that conversation come cutdown day. One of the things that I mentioned about wanting to watch going into the game was the offensive line. Now, I'm going to withhold judgment for the most part till I see the all 22 a little bit more. But when you have running backs like Emmanuel Wilson, who goes 13 for 67, and Jarvion Howard goes 8 for 44, I think they averaged as a whole like right around like 4.6 yards carries on per carry on the day. And the Browns had one sack, but it was a scramble that got, you know, out of bounds with no gain, which it was a quote unquote sack. They didn't allow any, you know, real sacks is what I guess I'll call them. I thought overall they played pretty well. And that Telford struggled a little bit early, but bounced back a little bit later. Caleb Jones was just annihilating people at the end of the game and just clearing them out of, you know, his area code, which he's got like basically one all to himself. And then Sean Ryan had a couple of nice plays in the run game as well. So like I said, I want to withhold judgment a little bit more until I see them on the all 22. But I thought for the most part, pretty solid performance from that backup offensive line. Couple other quick ones here. Joel Wilson, 3 catches, 30 yards. Had a couple really nice blocks as well. This is a player that I went back and watched all the bottom of the roster guys, and he was a guy that stood out to me. Saw a little bit of Robert Tonyan in his game. And then in camp so far, has really found ways to get open quite a few times. The one issue that he's had in camp is he's had some drops. He's got to find a way to hold onto the ball, but he's kind of consistently finding ways to get open. He's a fun little player, has a little run after the catch ability. And if he can improve his hands, I think he's got some receiving chops. And he showed up pretty well as a blocker in this game as well. Don't think he is in that 53-man conversation unless things, you know, continue to progress in an aggressive way. But I do think he is very much a very sure bet for the practice squad at this point. One of the down players in this game, unfortunately, was Bo Melton. Had 3 what I would call drops. 2 of them were a little bit behind him, but he'll be the first to tell you he needs to come up with those. And then a really bad one in the red zone with Michael Pratt as well. That was a clear drop. He also had a fumble on a end around. Now, tough to say if that was on the QB or if it was on the receiver, and Melton did a good job of gathering it and still continuing on the play. But this is a game that Melton's going to want to have back. I think he's still far too talented and showed far too much a season ago to say like he's in that conversation for not making the team and he's going to battle Heath and Dubose. But what you don't want if you're Bo Melton is to have performances like that where it even puts some thought into the coaches of, hey, is Melton involved in this, you know, battle as well? And maybe he is, and maybe I'm, you know, just overvaluing him, but I just thought there was way too much positive film from last year, and there's way too much of a player there to give up on it from, you know, even if he has a bad preseason or anything like that. I would keep him on the roster. I think there's too much upside there, but this is a poor performance from Melton. I have no doubt that he'll bounce back and hopefully he can come back next week against the Broncos and have a much better performance in week 2 of the preseason. Defensively, I thought overall first impressions were very good. Now, this was a very vanilla scheme. They were even safer, I think, once the starters went out and the backups came in. But overall, like the attacking mindset from the defense, thought we saw a little bit more penetration and disruptiveness up front. I think that's only going to get better. But overall, again, no major takeaways here, but thought it was a good first impression. From a kicking standpoint, Anders Carlson goes 2 for 2 with a 46-yard field goal, 1 for 1 on extra points. And then Joseph goes 1 for 1 on field goals with a 35-yarder and 1 for 1 on extra points as well. So in total, what, 5 for 5 on kicks for the day for the kickers. No starters next week per Matt LaFleur. They will do primarily the joint practices and utilize their starters a lot in those situations and utilize them less in the preseason game itself. So a lot of backups expected next week in the actual preseason game. Couple of final things here. One football related, one not football related. Football related, I'm willing to give this a little bit more time, especially into the regular season, because I think it's still early enough and I don't think teams are really doing what they're going to do in the regular season and the preseason. I'm a little bit underwhelmed with the new kick return. It just feels, I don't know, maybe unnatural, a little gimmicky. I don't know. And it just wasn't all that exciting. I think I'm kind of more, and maybe this is just me being, you know, old man yell at cloud or whatever, but I think I just start at the 25. I don't need the kickoff. I'm good. The more that I can get offense and defense and the less I can get special teams, the better football is for me. I think that's just my ultimate answer. And I don't want to necessarily get rid of field goals or, you know, punts. I don't want to necessarily get rid of, you know, any of that stuff. But if the kickoff is going to be unsafe and you can't make it that fun, just go to offense at the 25. It just seems like such an easy thing. Like if the game starts and Jordan Love just goes out there to start at the 25-yard line, first and 10, that's, I don't know. That just seems better to me, I think, at this point. Like I said, I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. Let's give it a little bit more time. But for now, I don't know. Just kind of underwhelmed, to say the least. Last but not least, this is a Packers show, but I just want to say, what a freaking awesome day of sports. U.S. Women's National Team, gold medal. The men's basketball game was unbelievable, gold medal. Packers get the win, and then Brewers finish it off with a beautiful 1-0 win. That's about as beautiful of a day of sports as I could possibly have. That was really, really fun. Of course, Packers a huge part of that as well. But man, oh man, Steph Curry, 4 for 4 for 3 in the final 2.5 minutes of that game, including one of the more ridiculous shots in the history of basketball. He's an absolute machine. It was a really fun day of sports, but a huge part of that, of course, were your Green Bay Packers and coming up with a win against the Cleveland Browns, 23-10 to kick off their Super Bowl winning season. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate you a ton. Thank you for making Packaday part of your daily routine. Make sure to tell a friend, like, comment, subscribe, 5-star reviews, whatever you can do to support the show is always appreciated. I will see you tomorrow. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Brad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, Dave McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, and Dan Gesford. Until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.